Yes, thank you, Peter, for the kind words of welcome and a joy to be with you here today at Lisburn Baptist Church. Our Bible reading this evening is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. The Apostle Paul is writing about heaven, and earlier in this book of Corinthians he said these words, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Listen to what it says in chapter 12 and verse 1. "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities." And amen, God always blesses to us the reading of his sacred word. Some years ago, before I left Banbridge and Banbridge Baptist Church, I was invited to take part in a little celebration, the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of the Banbridge High School. Mr. Ian Russell, the principal, we had a very good relationship, and I was at the school quite frequently. And he invited me to be part of a little ceremony where we were planting a tree, and of course, I had to play the pastor role and read the scriptures and have a word of prayer. After I had done that, this gentleman had a large basket with him, two baskets, and he opened the two baskets, and out of the baskets flew these 50 doves. I mean, 50 doves up into the air, and I was just fascinated. They flew round the school twice, and then they made their way to wherever. I was so fascinated, I went to speak to him afterwards, and I said, "Those are amazing, 50 doves." He said, "Well, really, they're not doves. They are white pigeons. They are homing pigeons." He says, "I live in Dromore, and they will be home before I am home." I said, "That is amazing. Are you busy?" He says, "Busy. I can't keep up with it." He said, "Last Saturday, we had 9 engagements. We do christenings and marriages and birthdays and anniversaries and all sorts of celebrations." And I thought to myself, I mean, I was thinking of retirement. What a good one for retirement. I mean, the birds do all the work. He was just there to pick up the money. And however, I got thinking of those white pigeons, those homing pigeons. It reminds me, my friend, of our blessed Lord Jesus when he was baptized in the River Jordan. The voice was heard from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then says the scriptures that the Holy Spirit descended upon him as a dove, the heavenly dove. My friend, can I say that as Christians this evening, that same heavenly dove, the Holy Spirit, he abides within our hearts. The Apostle Paul said, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." That is why I say and maintain this evening that as Christians, with this heavenly dove, this homing dove in our hearts, it gives to us that sense of home and of heaven. We used to sing the old hymn, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." I say that this evening because throughout the pages of Scripture, you will find that this was the testimony of many people. Why, it was Abraham, of whom it was said that he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He was looking for a country, a better country. Why? Because here he had no continuing city. He was a pilgrim, that is, a pilgrim who was making his way home, and a stranger in this world. Why? For he was looking for that city, the builder would be God himself. It is amazing, it was John Lennon who wrote a song some years ago saying, "Imagine there is no heaven." My friend, it takes a person to convince themselves that there is no eternity. Just as God who created us has given to us an innate conscience. That is that moral guide within our heart that teaches us what is right and what is wrong and checks within our heart. The same God has put within our hearts the sense of eternity. That is why the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that he has made all things beautiful in his time and has put eternity in our hearts. My friend, that is why there is a consciousness of eternity. Therefore, it's not a matter of the imagination. When we lived in the little town of Kanotama in the Amazon jungles, we used to take our colleague Arnie Abramson up into the tribe of Indians, the Zuma Indians. They were wild Indians. They lived in the River Mokuwing and the River Isawang. And he took 5 years to make a friendly contact with those Indians. After making friendly contact, he actually went to live near the Indians. They live in a big long house known as the Malacca. And he had made one of these little simple homes in the forest. He was recovering from malaria when he was wakened one night and the Indian braves, the young men, indicated to him that he had to go with them. And so he went with them out into the night, into the jungle. They gave to him a wooden spade, what looked like a paddle. And when they got to the jungle, they told him to dig. And when they began to dig, he realized he was digging a grave. They were digging with him, but he thought this was his own grave. He was quite relieved after digging a shallow grave that they indicated they were going back to the Malacca, the long house. And Arnie thought someone must have died. The chief's wife, the wife of what they call a Tushal, the Indian chief, why, she must have died, for she also had been very ill with malaria. But when he got to the Malacca, looked into the hammock, the old lady hadn't died, but her little beady eyes were red and she was burning with a fever. The young men took her pet birds and broke their necks and put them into the hammock. And then they lifted the hammock and untied the hammock. And on their shoulders, the camel carried the hammock out into the forest. And when they got to the grave, they lowered the woman still alive into the grave and buried her alive, simply because in their mistaken mentality, in their error and blindness, they believed that if you can get into eternity still alive, you have a better chance. What barbarity. But it indicates to us, my friend, that they, even though uneducated, no contact with the outside world, there was a sense of eternity in their hearts. That is why Muslims speak of paradise. Hindus speak of karma. The animistic people all around our world, they speak of this afterlife. Why? Simply because it's true. God has put eternity into our hearts. My friends, thank God it's not only the consciousness of eternity in our hearts, but we have one who stepped out of eternity, our Lord Jesus, and came into the world because the Bible says he came from the Father and went to the Father. If you're a Christian tonight, can I say, you are nearer to heaven than you've ever been in your life before. As a matter of fact, this Bible tells us in the words of David when he said, there is but a step between me and death. Think of that this evening. If you're a Christian, you're only a heartbeat away from the Savior's side. Only a heartbeat away from the glories of heaven. The thought of that really should put a thrill in our souls. It should give to us a song, just as we've been singing this evening, for we are going home. If you're not a Christian this evening, my friend, this book gives to us the true story. It not only gives the good news, but it gives the bad news. And to die in Christ is to go to be with Christ, but to die out of Christ without a Savior. While you're only a heartbeat away from the horrors and the torments of an unending hell. Think of that this evening. Just as the thought of heaven should put a thrill into the soul of the person who is a believer, the thought of hell and the nearness to hell should put a chill into the spine of every unbeliever, because this is real. Eric Clapton wrote a song after his little baby boy fell from 70 stories, I think it was, and fell to his death. And he wrote and said, imagine if I saw you in heaven, would I recognize you? Why, the thought of heaven was in his heart. I say again, My friend, as we read the Bible, thank God heaven is ever before us. That is why throughout the pages of this book, we find that heaven is called by many names. The Lord Jesus called it the kingdom of heaven, for heaven is a kingdom. We already quoted of Abraham. He was looking for a country, for heaven, my friend, is a country. Heaven is a city. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Heaven is paradise. That's the word that we read this evening. Said Paul that he was caught up into paradise for its beauty. In the old manuscripts, they called it Beulah Land. Beulah Land just simply meant the marriage place. And my friend, can I say that's what's going to happen in heaven. We are not only going home, we're going home to the marriage supper of the Lamb and to the marriage of the Lamb. And what a day of rejoicing that will be. But the best name for heaven is what the Lord Jesus said when he called it my Father's house. That is why the Father's house is home. Billy Graham's daughter, Anne Graham Lotz, has written a book, and that's what she simply called it, My Father's House. And she likened it to going home to her father's house, the welcome and the warmth that was there for her. And my friend, if you're a believer this evening, thank God we're bound for the land of the pure and the holy, and we're going home to be with the Father. What does the Bible tell us about heaven? Well, first of all, can I say, the Bible doesn't tell us everything about heaven. Over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it tells us in verse 6 that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the good things that God has prepared for them that love him. However, while the Bible doesn't tell us everything about heaven, it does tell us everything that we need to know. That is why just for these few moments this evening, I'd like to speak on the following. First of all, to think of the location of heaven. Where is heaven? The Apostle Paul said that he was caught up into the third heaven. The very fact that he speaks of the third heaven presupposes that there was a first and second heaven. The first heaven, we know it so well. It is the atmospheric heaven. When we look up into the azure during the day and see the reflection of light on our atmosphere, we see the blue skies. Well, here in Northern Ireland, we see them sometimes, but you know what I mean. We're living in the atmospheric heaven. At nighttime, we see beyond the atmospheric heaven, and we're looking into the starry heaven. We see the planets and the stars and the galaxies, and that is the second heaven. But my friend, the Apostle Paul reminds us that this third heaven is paradise itself. It is the dwelling place of God. And says the Apostle Paul that he saw things that were unspeakable. It was not lawful for him to speak of them. It is the Father's house. When we speak of the atmospheric heaven, it is a heaven in which birds fly and aeroplanes fly. When we look at nighttime and look into the starry heaven, we can see the stars and the planets. You can see the birds and planes in the azure by day. You can see the stars at night. But there's only one way to see heaven, and that's by faith. That's by faith. The Bible tells us that we are looking for the coming of our blessed Lord. Did not the Lord Jesus say that we are to look up, for our salvation draws near? The Apostle Paul, writing to the Hebrews, he said that the day of our salvation draws near. It's nearer than we think. Keep looking up. When we speak of the stellar heavens, you can travel in the stellar heavens by aeroplane. In the atmospheric heaven, you can travel by aeroplane. You can travel in the stellar heaven now by rocket. But there's only one way to the third heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He was quite exclusive about this. The Apostle Peter repeated it when he said that there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. We're living in a day of syncretic religion. Syncretic religion is when people who call themselves intelligent are trying to merge all of the religions. They all believe in eternity. They all believe in a God. And therefore, Hindus and Buddhists and Shintoists and Christians, if we could only bring them all together, and they give an illustration of it. They said, imagine that we're all traveling to New York. You can travel to New York from Dublin with Aer Lingus, from London by British Airways, from Paris with Air France, and from Frankfurt with Lufthansa. They're all leaving by from different places and going by different routes, but they all get to the same place. The illustration sounds good to them, but my friend, it's not New York we're going to. It's heaven we're going to. And this Bible tells me, my friend, that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. The location of heaven. Now, the location of heaven, we read here that the Apostle Paul said that he was caught up to heaven. We read of our Lord Jesus in Acts chapter 1 that he was caught up into heaven. In Acts chapter 7, we read that when Stephen looked up into heaven, he could see Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. He was always looking up. The Apostle John tells us in John Revelation chapter 4 that he was caught up into heaven. Come up. Now, heaven is up, but I know the intelligent people will say, well, that's okay for us who live in the Northern Hemisphere. What about those who live in Australia? Where's up for them? Well, my friend, we don't have an answer. We just know that heaven is where Jesus is. It is very interesting, mind you, that over there in Psalm 75, the Bible says, and speaking of God, the judge and the sovereign of all the earth, he says, promotion comes neither from the earth, neither from the east or from the west or from the south. He doesn't mention the north, simply because there are commentators who do believe that heaven is, as it says in Psalm 48, to the sides of the north. In Isaiah chapter 14, when it speaks of the fall of Lucifer, it says that he fell from the sides of the north. And therefore, some people tend to think that heaven must be to the north. What we know is heaven is where Jesus is. Heaven is the Father's house, the location of heaven. What about the population of heaven? Who is there? Well, the Bible tells us it's the Father's house. He is there. The Bible tells us our Lord Jesus came from heaven. And there on the Mount of Olives, the angel said to the men of Galilee, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus whom you've seen ascend into heaven. Jesus Christ went back to heaven. He is coming from heaven. Heaven is where Jesus is. The Father is there. The Lord Jesus is there. The Lord Jesus said these words, that he would ascend to the Father, and he and the Father would send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came from heaven, and one day he will return and take the church, the bride of Christ, to heaven. The Holy Spirit is from heaven. Therefore, we say this evening, without contradiction in this word, that heaven is the home of the divine Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Also, in Hebrews chapter 12, it reminds us that heaven is the home of an innumerable company of angels. My friend, over there in Psalm 103, it tells us that the angels are as a flame of fire who do the Father's will. Isn't it amazing, my friend, that God's angels, God's heavenly messengers, are all around us? We cannot see them or touch them, but they're real. I don't know about guardian angels, but I do know the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1 that the angels are God's servants to the heirs of salvation. That's us as believers, my friend. The angels serve the church of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Heaven is the home of holy angels, the home of the divine Trinity. Heaven is a home, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, the home of just men made perfect. That is, those believers who lived before the Lord Jesus came into the world. Therefore, it's looking back to the days of Abel and of Seth and of Noah. It's looking back to the days of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. My friend, in heaven today, those Old Testament saints, that is why the Bible says, they shall come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they shall sit down with Abraham and with Isaac. What a day of rejoicing. I mean, if you have ever had a flood, when you get to heaven, don't say anything to Noah because he had a bigger flood than any of us ever had. We are going to meet those Old Testament saints. What a day of rejoicing that will be when you speak with Samson and Daniel and Isaiah. Peter reminds us that they wrote for our benefit. But heaven is not only the home of the Trinity and the home of holy angels and the home of just men made perfect, but heaven is the home of redeemed saints. Listen to what it says in Revelation chapter 5. And they sang a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. My friend, if you're a Christian this evening, you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and one day we will be at home with the Lord. That is why in this same Revelation chapter 5, it tells us of that innumerable company of saints, redeemed saints. They will blend their voices and they will sing, Worthy, worthy is the Lamb, for he was slain for all of us. Over there in Revelation chapter 7, the angel asks the question, Who are these who are come out of great tribulation? These are they who washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. My friend, if you've been born again, if you've been saved, you've been washed in the blood. You are heaven bound because you are heaven born. You are blood bought. That's what makes you ready for heaven. And therefore, the population of heaven is made up of the divine Trinity, the home of holy angels, the home of just men made perfect. And thank God, the home of the redeemed. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you know Jesus Christ as personal Savior? My friend, it is important because only those who are heaven-born will be heaven-bound. However, when we speak of the population of heaven, a lot of questions arise in people's hearts. First of all, will we know each other in heaven? Mr. Spurgeon said, We will not be greater fools in heaven than we are here on earth. I mean, if we know each other here on earth, don't you think we'll know each other in heaven? Why, the Bible says that here we only know in part, but there we shall know even as we are known in heaven. I already quoted that scripture. They shall come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they will sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. How will they know that they're sitting with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob if they'll not know them and don't recognize them? As a matter of fact, over there in Matthew chapter 17, it tells us that Peter, James, and John were caught up into a high mountain, and the Lord Jesus was transfigured before their eyes. His glory was glory brighter than the sun. And there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah were two of the greatest worthies of the Old Testament. They lived generations, hundreds of years apart. But yet, my friend, they came together to meet Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they talked about the cross. And they talked about his death. And the Bible tells us that Peter, James, and John recognized them. They saw them. They knew them. Therefore, we will know each other in heaven. We will know even as we are known. People also ask the question, what will we look like in heaven? Well, can I say you'll be better looking in heaven than you are here? But the question arises, will babies be babies in heaven? Will old people still have wrinkles and bald heads in heaven? How will it be in heaven? The Bible tells me, my friend, that you will be made anew. You will receive a new body. Babies, old people. Remember that when God made Adam and Eve in the garden, he didn't make two babies who grew up. He made two grown people. When we lived in Brazil and we'd go out to Aleixo, the home of the leprosy patients, and there see them with their clawhammer hands and sometimes no hands and no feet and many of them blind, the terrible things, the scars of leprosy on their bodies. But we would go to the home after visiting all afternoon and reading and praying. We'd go to Valdemar, the pastor of the little Baptist church at the leper colony. And there we'd stand and we'd sing together, sing a lot of the choruses. But when we finished, we always sang, Maranatha, 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 Oraveng, Señor Jesus. They were singing, Maranatha, even come, Lord Jesus. They sang it with great expectation. Why? Simply because they were looking to the day that when Jesus comes, he'll transform this vile body to be like unto the glorious body. No more leprosy, no more scars, no more marks. We will be like Jesus. The population of heaven. What about the occupation of heaven? What will we do in heaven? A lot of people think that heaven is going to be one long eternity in which we'll sing for all eternity, as if it was one long church service. Well, I don't know about you. I don't think I would like a long church service for all eternity. Suppose that depends on the church you go to, but you know what I mean? My friend, that's not how it's going to be in heaven. The Bible tells us, my friend, that in heaven there will be service. Who are these who have washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb? These are they who have come out of great tribulation, and they shall serve him day and night forever. My friend, what service there's going to be for the Father in the Father's house? Why, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that the saints will judge the nations, we'll rule the world, we will be with Jesus. What a day of rejoicing that's going to be. Here on earth, why, we've been in Christian work now for 57 years. And the old hymn is true, the longer we serve him, the sweeter he grows. But when we get to heaven, my friend, we'll be able to serve our Lord without any weaknesses or inhibitions or any of the failures and blunders that we make here on earth. We will serve the Savior. We'll be servants in heaven. Of course, not only will there be service in heaven, there will be singing in heaven. That's what we read. They said and sang, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb." And what a day that's going to be, my friend, when we'll be able to sing. You may not be able to sing here, but you'll be able to sing praises. And the Bible reminds us, my friend, that we will blend our voices with millions. Those who have come from every tongue, tribe, and nation, from all around our world. What a day when we'll use a heavenly language to praise the Lord. Heaven's occupation. It will be serving and singing. Did you know that in heaven there will be shouting? Over there in Revelation chapter 19, it tells us four times, and the saints shouted, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!" I think the Baptists will be silent at that time, for we don't sing or shout many hallelujahs. But we read that the saints shouted hallelujah when Babylon fell, and the saints shouted hallelujah when Jesus came. "He shall come," says Revelation 19, verse 16. "And as he comes on his sire," written these words, "King of kings and Lord of lords." Is it any wonder that Handel said, "Hallelujah, he shall reign forever and ever." There will be shouting in heaven, serving and singing and shouting. There will be silence in heaven. Isn't that amazing? I think that when we see Jesus, we will be awestruck. I said this morning, we'll not be taken up with the golden streets or the jasper walls or the pearly gates or the river of crystal. We will be taken up when we see Jesus. Oh, to see him. The location, the population, the occupation of heaven. We don't have time to speak of the perfections of heaven, to speak, my friend, of its structure and its scenery, of its splendor, of its size. All of these things are to be found in the Word of God. But our time is gone. Let me say something not only about the location and population and occupation and perfection of heaven. That place where the name of Jesus will be the music of heaven. The person of Jesus will be the praise of heaven. My friend, we're going home. But what about the preparation for heaven? Heaven is not only a real place. Heaven is a reserved place. Listen to what the Apostle Peter wrote. He said that God has begotten us again by a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We who are kept by the power of God onto an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. My friend, heaven is real, but heaven is reserved for those who know Christ. Dr. Billy Graham, who died quite recently, way back in the 1940s, was called to the White House to meet President Eisenhower. He went with his Bible, and President Eisenhower asked Billy Graham to tell him about heaven. And so it was that Billy Graham opened his Bible and began to speak of heaven as a place and the promises that Jesus gave and everything relating to heaven. And after it had finished, President Eisenhower shook his hand and said, "Dr. Graham, thank you." Many years later, Dr. Graham was called to the hospital, the John Hopkins Hospital in Washington, when President Eisenhower was in his last days. When Dr. Graham entered into the hospital room, President Eisenhower said, "Dr. Graham, you remember you told me all about heaven. Would you please tell me that again? Tell me that again." So it was that Billy Graham opened his Bible and began to tell him, "In my Father's house are many mansions." After he had finished it all, President Eisenhower put out his hand, shook hands with Dr. Graham and said, "Thank you, Dr. Graham. I'm prepared. I've trusted Christ as Savior. What about you tonight? Do you know him? Have you trusted him? Are you going home to heaven?" Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, how we thank you for the sure word of testimony that comes from your sacred word, promises that we can depend on, build on, stand upon, and face the last enemy with, because Jesus has prepared a place for us. Bless thy word to every heart, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.